I'm returning again in our Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew and to the chapter 5, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. Our text for this morning in the verses 14 through to 16. And we read these words: "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let's pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Thy word is truth. And may thy truth be written upon our hearts, and we may not sin against thee. May the Spirit of God be our teacher today in the things of the gospel. And far beyond the voice of man, may it be the voice of God that is heard. And may we be drawn after thyself. May thy truth, being sown in our hearts, bring forth much fruit for the glory of thy name. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The first recorded words of God in our Bible are found there in the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Let there be light. Let there be light. When God created the light, he said that it was good. Now, since that time, light has come to mean many things to us. But most importantly, the Lord Jesus Christ declared that he was the light of the world. There in John's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And a chapter later, the Lord said, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." So the Lord Jesus identifies himself as the light of the world. But here we find him teaching that his followers are also to be a light of the world. Now last week we learned something of the nature and character of salt. As it identifies with Christians, we are salt of the earth. And we realize that it speaks about our inward character, the character of the Christian. Well, now the Savior describes his people as being a light of the world. So if the salt speaks of the inward nature, the light speaks of the outward testimony of one who is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a revealing and an eliminating of the truth of God. And while salt works secretly, the light works openly. As the salt works within, the light shines without. The salt is largely negative in that it retards corruption, but it can't change corruption into incorruption. The light is more positive. It not only reveals what is wrong and false, but helps to produce that which is righteous and true. And so the Lord Jesus says in verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world." Now, it's good for us to be able to identify this light. Lord Jesus said, "Ye, you." He's being emphatic. "You. And you alone are the light of the world," he's saying. Now the Savior intentionally singles out this group of people gathered before him, ordinary working men and women, just the peasants from the local area, and yet he identifies them as being distinct and different from the world. He calls them the light of the world. Now, we've already said that these were expressions that the Lord Jesus used concerning himself. He said, I am the light of the world. That he being the light of the world, that those who follow him will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Christians, then, are light in a derived sense, in that the light that we have comes as a result of our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not produce the light, but in the same way that the moon reflects the light of the sun, we reflect the light of Christ as he indwells us. But there's an added dimension to Christians being light. Not only do we reflect the light, but we also have the very essence of this light dwelling within us. And Paul takes that language and he amplifies the meaning when he says that ye are the light of the world. He says, for ye were sometimes darkness. That's what we were in our unsaved condition. But now are ye the light of the Lord. So what are we to do? We are to walk as children of light. You'll find that in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. So rather than displaying the deeds of darkness, we are to live like those who have come to know the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we've been saved by the grace of God, we are indwelt by his Holy Spirit. Now therefore shine out as lights, walk as light in this world. That's how God intends to get his work done upon earth today. That is his plan. That we who have been saved by his grace, who have been indwelt by his Spirit, now carry within us the hope, the only hope for this world. The only hope for all of the darkness that we see around us, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is God's plan that we spread the light wherever we go. We are a light of the world. Ye are. You are. Not just pastors or missionaries or ministers. You are a light of this world. This belongs to everyone that loves the Lord Jesus Christ and is seeking to walk humbly before him. I love the story that I heard of a little boy and his parents were visiting some of the great cathedrals throughout Europe. And as they entered one of the cathedrals, the little boy's mother pointed out all of the wonderful features and the architecture. And he looked up at the images of the people that were depicted in the stained glass windows and he asked, "Who are they?" His mother said, "They are the saints." The little boy nodded in appreciation and said, "Now I know, the saints are those whom the light shines through." That's what we are to be. Those who the light shines through. Ye are the light of the world. So what are we to do? We are to shine. As light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So we are to shine collectively, a city that is set on a hill. Many of the ancient cities were made out of white limestone. Others whitewashed their walls in order to keep the buildings a little cooler under the hot Mediterranean sun. Well, such a city set upon a hill was visible for miles around. It shone in the sunlight. And then in the evening, as the sun began to set, its rays made the city walls seem to glow. It became helpful for travelers that found themselves on the road by night. There were no street lights, and there was no torches And there was no headlights on cars, but the glow of the city upon the hill helped the traveller as he made his way. And as the sun finally set, you can imagine within every home those little oil lamps shining out, thousands of them upon the hillside, shining, providing light for the journey and for the traveller. Now we have some difficulty imagining this since we have street lights and headlights for our journeys, but can you imagine being back in those days when there was a dependence upon even the faintest light in the distance to help direct you on your journey home? A city on the hill with little oil lamps glowing from every window. Why, the city couldn't be hidden by day or by night. And that's what point the Lord is making here. He has put us in a position with others around us that we might shine for his glory. Now you'll notice what it says about the city. It is a city that is set on a hill. That word set means placed. It's not there by accident. There were plans that were made to put the city in that prominent position. It was set in that location so that it might serve its purpose. Now, when the Lord saved you and put the very light of his own life within you, he placed you right where he wanted you to be so that you might, along with others, be part of that city that cannot be hidden. He has positioned you in the world to stand out and be noticed. And so when Christians come together, there ought to be a glow for the Lord. We ought to shine brightly and create a light that can be seen for miles around. We shine brightest when we shine together. A city set on a hill that cannot be hid. So we shine collectively. And then we're to shine individually. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So the next image we have here is of someone lighting a lamp in a house. And the purpose of the lamp was to enable everyone in the house to be able to see. Now there were a few windows in the house, and these simple lamps provided all the light that they had. Now the lamp was not lit and placed under a bushel or under a basket or in other places put under the bed, because there no one could profit from its light. It's placed upon a lampstand. It's put in a prominent position so that it might give light unto all that are in the house. You who have been saved by the grace of God, who have the light of the gospel within you, are not to hide your Christianity. You are to see it as your business to be a lamp lighting the way for to the Lord Jesus Christ wherever he has placed you. You are to give light unto all that are in the house. A little while ago we had a short series on evangelism and witnessing to others. And sometimes we have it reduced to a formula as to what we do and what we say and how we go about this. But you know, witnessing is not so much something we do as something we are. We're to let our light shine before men. We're to be a light to the world. There ought to be a beauty about our life that makes the gospel appealing. Like the city set upon the hill, we're placed by the Lord to draw attention to the Savior. Like the lamp in the house, we are engaged in the work of illuminating the truth of the gospel through our life so that all that are in the house might benefit from it. Have you seen that as your role within the home, Christian? to be a light to the others that are in it. We are to be different and distinct from all of the darkness that is around us. And because the Lord has saved us and the light of the gospel is in us, we have something then to share with those who are still in darkness. They ought to see our life in Christ and wonder at the difference that the Savior makes. They ought to see the light of the gospel shining from us. There should be a purity to our life. The light speaks of purity. They ought to be wondering how we live the way that we do. The gospel should be seen as well as heard. They should see it in our work, in our character, in our conduct. It should be obvious by our speech and our conversation. The message of the gospel is not one that's easily and readily believed by those around us, especially if we compromise the message with a life that doesn't equate to what we're saying. Our greatest need in evangelism today is not for a new method to share the gospel, but for Christians to live a genuine life before a darkened world. To let our light shine. So we shine collectively like a city on a hill. We shine individually like a candle in the home. We are to shine supernaturally. In the Savior's day, the lights or the candles that are spoken of here, we're not really thinking of a wax candle with a wick. We're thinking of oil lamps, typically. Little jars of clay that had the precious oil within them, and the little wick inside would burn, and the clay pot would shine and glow and give light to the home. Well, I think that's a good picture of what we are. We're clay pots. We have a very precious substance within us. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7, he says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have the Spirit of God inside this body of dirt, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. There's nothing special about us. We're just clay pots, earthen vessels. But we're special when we become the temple of the Holy Spirit, that oil within us. And we can say with Paul then that I am what I am by the grace of God. It's God and His Word, His presence in our life that makes the difference. There's the oil of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, and the entrance of Thy Word gives light. Like those clay pots, our bodies are temporary and fragile and expendable. But one day we will exchange the mortal for the immortal. We'll shine as lights for the Lord. So given that we are to be a light to the world, the instruction given to us in verse 16 is, let your light so shine. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Our lives should demonstrate some of the characteristics of light. Let your light so shine before men. So what are some of the characteristics of light? Well, light reflects. Light reflects. And we can say that our life being a light of life, or that we should have a display of the Lord who is within us on the outside of our life. A display of holiness. Since the Savior is the light of the world, and we as His followers are to reflect that light, then it should be good works that shine out before the rest of the world. We are to let that light shine. Someone said that we are the only Bible that a careless world will read. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message given in deed and word. But what if the type is crooked? And what if the print is blurred? Does our light shine brightly for the Lord? Whether we will acknowledge it or not, or whether we like it or not, there are other people watching. Their eyes are upon us. And we may be the only gospel that they ever see. And if they keep watching your life for evidence of the Christianity that you keep talking about, what will they see? Is the evidence there? This darkened world of ours is starved of light. They need to see the light that reflects the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to see those beams of God's love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and faithfulness and honesty and compassion, the light of God shining from our life. Light reflects. We are to reflect the Lord in the things that we do. What else can light do? Light can offend. Light can offend. If you've ever turned on the light in a dark room where someone was sleeping, the first thing that they'll do is pull the covers over their eyes and cry out, "Turn off the light! Turn off the light." The human heart is dark without Christ. But the light is stronger than the darkness. The true follower of the Lord Jesus will be visibly different than the world around. And as we shine out the light of the gospel, there will be some who will cry out to us, "Turn off the light." The reason for that, we're told, is that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. So, Christian, as you shine as light to the world, the great tragedy is that there are those around you who will prefer the darkness. They prefer to remain in their ignorance and their sin, and they sit in their darkness because they love their iniquity and they love to revel in their sins and wallow in the darkness. And when one would turn on the light of Christ, it offends. They don't want it. They want the light turned off again. They want to remain where they are. And that's sad. But light can offend. Rather, we would rather that our light might attract. The Lord Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." Have you ever seen people gather around a fireplace on a cold night? The dark winter's evening. Is there anything more attractive than a fire that's burning? Where its light and its warmth becomes attractive. And you do all that you can to get as close as possible to it. Is our life providing that comfort? Do others see the love of Christ shining from us? Is there a warmth about our nature that's attractive? Are we in the business of drawing men and women and boys and girls to the Savior by the life that we live? Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." That piercing light of the gospel can appear attractive. And so the Lord Jesus said, "When I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself." May we provide an attractive view of Christ. What else can light do? Light illuminates. Light illuminates. Even across a huge room that's in darkness, a tiny candle can be seen. It doesn't take very much. And even in the midst of all of that darkness, that little candle can shine out and all of the darkness in the world can't extinguish it. You don't need remarkable credentials to share your faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. You just need to shine out wherever you are. And that light will make things visible that weren't visible previously. And the smallest spark in a dark room will be seen at once. The light of the Spirit of God will always be seen in the life of the true Christian. Should always be identifiable. Peter says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arises in your hearts." No matter how dark the place we might be found, it can't extinguish even the light of the smallest candle. It shines out. We need to make sure that we've got oil in our lamp, that we're filling our lamp with oil every day by meditating upon the Scriptures, by seeking the Lord in prayer, by being filled with His Spirit, and making sure that the oil is there and we're shining brightly, living out the Scriptures, shining and illuminating this darkened world. There's another thing that light's involved in. It helps things grow. Light has an amazing life-giving property. Photosynthesis is the process by which plants and organisms convert light energy, normally from the sun, into chemical energy, providing oxygen. And that oxygen then fuels its activities. And so the light becomes essential for life. The earth would be a very different place if there was no sunlight. The power of photosynthesis would cease, and we would lack the very oxygen that we need to breathe. You see what happens when you have a forest full of trees with overhead canopies of foliage. The sun can't get through to the ground. There's little plant life there. But where there's light, there will be growth. And in the same way, spiritual light is necessary for spiritual life. And like the plants that always are drawn towards the light, the true believer will be drawn towards the light. So if you test, you want to test your standing in Christ, do you have an attraction towards the things of light? Do spiritual things, are they important to you? Do you tend towards the things of Christ, towards fellowship with other believers, towards the place of prayer, towards the Word of God, to fellowship with the Son? Is there an attraction there for you? The unbeliever is opposite. He hates the light. He loves the darkness. Are you growing in the light of the gospel? Grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another thing that light does, it points the way. You can think of the lighthouse that guides the ships through the treacherous waters. You can think of the torch that you carry that illuminates the path as you walk at night. Ask God to give you the opportunity to guide others and to point the way, to share the plan of salvation with those who are yet in darkness. And may God's word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. There's another thing that light does. It cheers us up. There's something that happens if you live in a very dark climate where there's little sunshine. You suffer from seasonal deficiency. You're lacking in sunlight. And rather than being cheerful, there's a gloom that comes over people. We're not made for living in the dark. The light cheers us up. How awful it is to be looking for something in the dark. To be blind is a cruel thing. And yet there are thousands and millions today that are blinded by the God of this world. They live in spiritual darkness. How wonderful it is when the light comes on. Think how it feels upon the skin when the sun comes out from behind the cloud. That ray of light brings not only light but joy and peace to our lives. Well, that's what we are to be. All of these characteristics of light should be seen within us. Let your light shine before men. Don't hide your light. Don't put it under the bushel. Put it on the candlestick. Give light to all that are in the house. A light that's hidden is useless. It's ineffective. Don't cover your light. Sin will cover your light. Sin will cause it to be hidden away. Don't hide your light, Christian. Be a light to the world. Don't try and serve the Savior in secret with just private acts of devotion. Put your lamp upon the lampstand. Let it give light to all the house. Let your life be lived in such a way that all that come in contact with you will bless God for the light that you're shining. To shine as lights in the midst of a darkened world. And the result will be that when we let our light shine before men, that they will see our good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. There's a promise there. That if we seek to live for the glory of God in this darkened world, that he will use our testimony to bring praise to his name. Those good works will glorify the Father which is in heaven. And the darkened world around us will see it and know the truth of what we're saying. May we shine out as lights. Ye are light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So when we are right with God and we're filled with his Spirit, he will simply shine through us. We'll not be able to help it. His light will just pour out from us. And people will be attracted to the light. And some will be offended by it. But we trust that just as those in darkness are attracted towards the light, that others will be attracted to our faith in Christ. Shine forth. Let others see the Lord living in you and through you. And may they glorify our Father which is in heaven. Let's just bow in prayer. Gracious Father, we ask that we might shine forth as lights in this darkened world, that it would be the glory of God that would be evidence within our life, a testimony of love for the Lord Jesus Christ, a purity of life and conduct, because it's the Savior who reigns within us. And may we know that daily in filling with the oil of thy Spirit, in order that we might burn brightly for the Savior. Save us from our own foolishness, from unwise decisions, from things that would cause our light to splutter and to go out, to be hidden. May we be sold out for the Savior. We've been given a wonderful honor to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. May we not allow our flame to grow dim, but may we be a light to the world as the Savior intended. These things we ask in his precious name. Amen.